The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the beginning of the Gospel reading was fun, wasn't it? Just in case you missed it, because you were going through in your head all the Christmas gifts that you still have yet to purchase, here it is again. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Now, this reading is so much fun, these two verses are so much fun, that at the congregation I previously served, when this reading came up, we removed it. I know, it's sacrilege, right? We messed with the lectionary. So, why did I insist on reading for you twice today, other than trying to impress you with my ability to read lots of names and places very quickly? I left it in because the writer of the Gospel of Luke put it in there for a very specific reason. He didn't just put it in there to mess with lectors for the coming 2,000 years. Now, in this list, we have rulers, governors, and emperors. These were, of course, the big shots of that day, the big shot politicians who held power. They were like presidents or governors, senators, congressional leaders, mayors, but even more ruthless and corrupt. Sounds like a lot of fun, right? These were the ones who held power, and they also held money. They commanded armies, conquered lands near and far, occupied lands around the world, and seemed to be the ones in control of the future. And yet, God's word didn't come to them. And then we hear about Annas and Caiaphas, who were the high priest. They were the ones with the religious power, and they carried a lot of power, especially in Israel. They, possibly even more than the government, controlled people's day-to-day lives. They were responsible for interpreting God's law that had been given to them through Moses. They told the people how to live and how to act, what to eat, how to be clean, how to even form a sewer system when you were in a camp. They told the people how to live and how to act. They were the bishops and the pastors of that day with even more power. And yet, the word of God didn't come to them either. Instead, the word of God came to the most unexpected person. It came to John the Baptist, who we were told lived in the wilderness, never cut his hair, and ate locusts and honey. Now, I mean, let's think about this. I don't want to think too hard about what he looked like or what he smelled like, because I'm pretty sure he is the polar opposite of the clean-cut image that we have in our head of those people who hold power. I don't even want to imagine what kind of breath the diet of locusts and honey gives a man. I mean, can you imagine eating dinner with him? John, I think you have a locust leg stuck there in your teeth. And yet, the word of God came to him. The word of God came to John instead of those who held the political and religious power of that day. And no, it's no wonder that it did, because the message, the word of God John was given, turned everything upside down. As John said, he was the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." It sounds nice starting out. Then this comes: "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. This is the great leveling. And suddenly, it's not about the powers from on high who dictate life. Instead, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh, all people, and all things shall be made level. We shall see God. The word of God suddenly can come from anywhere, and the word of God can come to anyone. That's what we learn from Luke's inclusion of all these long and tedious names. The word of God comes to unexpected people. And perhaps that's the beauty about the word and the beauty about the way God works in this world. I've known for a long time that I was never going to be a typical pastor, and I'm fine with that. Besides the fact that I'm slightly overenthusiastic and very irreverent at times, I also honestly don't look the part. And I'm not going for the sympathy card out here. There just aren't a lot of young female Asian pastors in the Lutheran Church. You add the fact that I moved to Pennsylvania, where collars, the little tabs or the round white bands that people wear around your neck, and you're pretty much expected as a pastor to wear one daily, and there's the fact that I just don't like wearing them. They're really uncomfortable, and because I find them really uncomfortable and I don't want to wear one, I just don't wear them. This means I stick out like a sore thumb. It even gets pointed out to me on a yearly basis as we gather at assemblies where clergy from a local area come together to vote on important stuff in the church. Our area is called the Lower Susquehanna Synod, and not only am I one of the only people there not in a collar, and I wear jeans too because I just prefer wearing jeans. And at these assemblies, on top of just looking different than everyone else, they also keep track of stats. And these stats are often shown to the group for posterity's sake because it's expected. Now, it's the number of delegates with identifiable and sortable factors, including clergy, laity, male, female, ages, ethnicities. And it's clear from the numbers, and also simply from just looking around, that a majority of clergy are male, middle-aged, and white. Not that there's anything wrong with being male, middle-aged, and white. It's just the way it is. However, since I'm neither male, nor middle-aged, nor white, I don't look the part. But the reason I share this with you is because the Word of God came to me anyway. It came to me through the call to ministry. Not because I looked or acted a particular way or because I held some sort of special position of power. It came because it's a gift. And it's a gift for everyone, including you. No matter what you look like, no matter where you came from, no matter what station you have in life, no matter what you have for your last meal, the Word of God comes. The Word of God comes to make all things level. To make things like race and class and age and wealth obsolete. The Word of God comes, so it no longer matters what you look like, what your job title is or was, whether you're conservative or progressive, whether you're old or young or rich or poor or somewhere in between all these categories that we've created. The Word of God comes to all of us. It is for all flesh. For all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The valleys have been filled, and the mountains and hills have been made low. The paths have been made straight. The playing field has been leveled. The way has already been made. All flesh has seen the salvation of God. Just as the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist, the word of God comes to us in the form of a baby boy who will redefine power, who will redefine religion, and who will save us all. Jesus, the word of God, made flesh, given to us, comes to level the playing field, not with political power or religious might, but by saving us from our pride and our power-hungry ways through his death on the cross for all sinful and corrupt people, which includes us. The playing field is leveled because we are all forgiven. We all have been saved. We are on equal ground because we are all forgiven sinners and God's children through the word of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it is this word of God that we go out with, just like John the Baptist. Though the playing fields have been leveled and the valleys filled in and the mountains and hills made low through God's love and grace, not everyone in the world knows this. And I know, Pastor Tasha, I'm not a pastor like you. How can I do this? No, you're not like me. And guess what? That's great. That's amazing. Because if there's anything I've learned from being an atypical pastor, is that anyone can bring the word of God to the people. And I mean anyone. Everyone. We're all in this together. There's no one way or typical way to do this. There are no typical ministers. There's just you and me, and we are all God's. And God's word comes to you through music, through the Bible, through scripture, through the bread and wine and communion, through the waters of baptism, and through day-to-day life. If God can use a man with locust and honey breath, and a young Asian woman who has a tendency to make it up as she goes, then God can certainly use you too as we prepare the way of the Lord and prepare God's coming at Christmas and proclaim that all flesh has seen God's salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen.